Thank you for tuning in to the Mount Holly Podcast. We pray that this week's sermon will encourage and inspire you. If it's your first time tuning in, or if you're interested in learning more about Mount Holly, please stay tuned after the sermon for more information. We're so glad you're tuning in today. Now here's this week's sermon from our guest minister, Reverend Doug Hardy.
In Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, we have these words. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. I think that Jesus was saying something there, which is the title of my message today. I think Jesus was saying, walk with me. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. So they started on a journey in a path that was taking them to heights unknown at that time, because they knew not the future like no one does. But it's important to understand today that what he was saying, walk with me. And I'm asking you this morning to walk with me as I walk with him. You know, the scripture tells us that if talks about freedom. We talks about the freedoms that we experience in every day of our lives. And it's important today to understand that when we come to a point in our lives when we lost that freedom. You see, I think we've lost everything. And you know what? Our country has stood for freedom. It was founded on freedom because they were those that were tired of the tyranny and the oppression that was being placed upon them. And those men and women fought for their freedom. People have fought ever since for freedom. Israel fights for freedom all the time. And it's important for us today to understand that I don't know about you, but I want to be free. I don't want somebody to stand over me and tell me what I can or can't do. And I know that there are laws, and I understand that. But whenever we get to the place to where that freedom is being sucked out of us and we can't enjoy life anymore. Jesus said in John 8:36, for if the Son therefore shall make you free, you're free indeed. And I think that we understand that today, especially those that are walking in the light of the Lord and your relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, freedom is not free. Somebody had to pay the price for freedom that we're enjoying today. And you and I come this morning and sit here today, you and I have the freedom to come into this house of worship and worship God in the way that we feel we need to worship him. And we can leave this place today feeling as though that no one is going to arrest us because we went to church. And yet we know that today that has happened in so many circles, that in light of the Congo, that Christians are being slaughtered there for their faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you this morning that we need to understand that we don't want that to come to America. We don't want that to come to the place to where that it takes away from us the ability to come to this place today and worship God in spirit and in truth. For if we lose that, we've lost everything today. And I believe that we can understand that today. When I thought about this message and I thought about July the 4th, and I thought about Independence Day, and I thought about the freedoms that we experience and the ability to maybe grill a hot dog, have a hamburger, watch a fireworks, and so on and so forth, and be with family and friends. Those things are important, and it's good to be able to have those things to be able to available to them. But then I think about those that are not with us today. I think about those, and many years ago when I had the opportunity to visit Washington, D.C., and go to the Vietnam Memorial. I thought about when I stood there and I looked over the books and I looked over that wall and I saw the names of comrades that I had served with during the Vietnam era. I'm glad today that I for one did not have to go to Vietnam. I was given a choice. The Army gave me a choice and said, you can either go or you can stay in Germany. So I stayed in Germany. My brother had told me, he said, Doug, one of us is going to Vietnam. Unfortunately, my brother had to go there. And he spent 12 months and came back. Thank the Lord he came back safely. I want to tell you this morning that it grieves my heart when I think about those. And this is not all the wars. And we look at those in the past tense. We look at all the wars that America has been involved in. We think about World War I, World War II. We think about Korea. My brother served in Korea, served in Vietnam. And when I think about Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and all these other fights and battles that's been going on through the years, and I think about the freedom. These people are out there fighting for you and I to be able to come together today and to be able to worship God in the spirit of freedom and in truth. And I think that God wants us to understand that today. We're living in a time in which we need to be free. I think about all those that names that are on that wall. 58,281 names are engraved on that wall. There are three sets of fathers and sons. 39,966 on the wall, just 22 years of age and under. 22. Over 8,000 were 19. The largest group, over 33,000, were just 18 years of age. 12 soldiers on the wall were 17. Five soldiers on the wall were 16. One soldier, PFC Dan Bullock, was 15 years of age. They were in a country fighting for freedom because communism was trying to take over North Vietnam was trying to take over South Vietnam. And it's important today for us to understand that people have gone to war to fight for freedom. That freedom does exist, and we can have that kind of freedom. But the freedom that's important for you and I to know today is the fact that that freedom that Jesus gives to the individual. He gives us a freedom to be able to serve God, to walk with God, to serve the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and to be able to come together in a time of worship and praise and adoration unto Him, because He is a God this morning that looks down upon us, and He understands exactly what you're going through this morning. He understands what you're facing. Ronald Reagan, one of the best presidents in my lifetime. Ronald Reagan said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on them for them to do the same thing. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our grandchildren that what it was once like in the United States where men were free," 1961. Reagan said, "If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth," 1964. He said this, "I hope we once again have reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There is a clear cause and effect here and is as neat and predictable as the law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts." 1989, Ronald Reagan made that statement. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And I enjoy that freedom today. When I think about my life and I think about where I've been, I was talking about this morning, some of us talking about flying on airplanes. I don't want to fly again. Airplanes fall down. Freedom and bondage. If the sun sets you free, you're free indeed. In 1961, August the 13th, until November the 9th, 1989, the Berlin Wall stood. And I remember as I stood there at that wall, the Cold War began around 1947. I was born that year. I'm glad I didn't have anything to do with it until 1991. On that day of August the 13th, 1961, 28 miles of wall went up that separated the free from the not free. It happened. Now, it just didn't happen because they got out there and took concrete and laid block and built a wall. It come about with soldiers and tanks and guns. And I have stood there on the freedom side and looked over that wall, and there were people that would come and stand there on that platform that where we were. And they look over to the other side, and family members would come on certain days, and they'd stand there and they'd wave at their loved one because they could not get to them. I was told while we were there that there was not a night that went by you could not hear gunfire along that wall. People trying to escape for freedom. That's how critical it is to be free. In fact, there was one lady that tried to escape, and she got tangled up under the barbed wire trying to get to the free side. And there, wounded, both sides stood. No one was able to go to her, and she died for freedom, for freedom. I don't understand how God operates sometimes. I don't understand how that it came about that in that time frame that I was in Germany, that I was chosen. I was chosen to take a tour and go from west side of Germany to Berlin. I've actually, as the train was coming in close to Berlin, we saw the soldiers standing along the railroad track with their guns. And we got in there and we took tours. I have been on both sides of that wall. I have seen what it's like for people want to be free. And I've seen how that people are oppressed by what their government is doing to them. But I want to tell you something this morning. When I saw that and I saw how people were being treated and that. See, this is communism. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want that to come to America. You don't want it to come in the form of socialism because it'll take away your freedom. But I tell you something. One thing that is important for you and I to know, you cannot lose the freedom that Jesus Christ provides for those that are willing to say, Jesus, well, I want to walk with you. I want to serve you. I want to stay close to you, Lord. It doesn't matter what may happen. It doesn't matter what people may say or do. It may not matter what people are walking around with guns that are going to try to take our lives. But I want you to know it's important to understand one thing. They may take your life, but they cannot take your freedom if you're walking with Jesus. Can you say amen this morning? On June the 12th, 1987, Ronald Reagan spoke near the wall in front of Berlin's Brandenburg Gate. I've been there. Reagan's speech echoed the message of another famous American at the Berlin Wall 24 years earlier. On June 26, 1963, U.S. President John F. Kennedy uttered the famous words, I am a Berliner. You couldn't go anywhere over there in parts of Berlin and not see a monument, a statue, or something to John Kennedy. Those people loved him because he represented a freedom. Freedom. John Kennedy left Berlin after making that famous speech, came back to Washington, D.C. He had just recently gone through that day of Bay of Pigs, which was a failure, trying to stop Russia from bringing nuclear missiles into Cuba, which is only 90 miles off of our coast. He put a stop to that. His aides begged him not to go to Texas. John Kennedy went in an open vehicle. John Kennedy lost his life. I remember that when I was in high school. I remember the pictures. I remember that at a point, it was almost like America stood still because their president had been assassinated. I thought about that lots of times, and I'll tell you this. I have said from day one, Lee Harvey Oswald and Jack Ruby were not the only ones involved in the death of my president. And I'll say it again. There were those in government that took him out. Because if they don't like you, they'll take you out. If you don't subscribe to what they want you to do in their discipline, they'll take you out. That's what's happened in other countries because people wanted to be free and they weren't willing to give in to it. That area has experienced wars. When they united in the 20th anniversary celebration of the fall of the Berlin Wall, it was termed the Festival of Freedom. The Festival of Freedom. In Matthew 14, verses 20 through 32, we read a story. What had just happened? A miracle. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I can feed 5,000 men, not including the women and children, on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But Jesus can, and that's what he did. And after the people had been fed, 5 loaves and 2 fishes now have now become 12 baskets full. That's pretty good. I've often wondered about when that child, if he was given those baskets, when he took them home, what did his mama say when he walked in with all that food? Because he hadn't left with that 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And we think about that. So he worked a miracle. And Jesus had to spend a lot of time away in prayer. And the Bible says, and he used the word in verse 22, Jesus constrained his disciples. In other words, he forced them, get in the boat and go to the other side, and I'm going to pray. Now, that the Sea of Galilee, and I've been on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and that sea is about eight miles wide, about 13 miles long. Now, I will assure you that they didn't get in a boat and 30, 40 minutes later, they were on the other side. That didn't happen. It was going to take them a while to get from point A to point B. Jesus was praying. And while I was in Israel, I saw how the wind would come down off of the mountain range, and it would cause that water to become very boisterous in just a short period of time. And that's what happened that night. Jesus was up here praying. The disciples was out on the water, and fear gripped them because they saw that they were going to perish. Without Jesus today, we'll perish. And the important thing of it is, Jesus knew what was happening. He knew what was going on, what they were facing. And the Bible says, and you see, Jesus came walking in the fourth watch of the night. So sometime around 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, we had to say that he sent them away probably sometime before it got dark. And this time had elapsed. And so I don't know how far the disciples had got, but they had gotten somewhere out there in the middle of the ocean, of the water. And Jesus came walking on the water. Now, that's a powerful phenomenon. And when the disciples and Peter saw him, they were afraid. And Peter, kind of more of the zealous one, he just stepped up to the plate and said, "Lord, if that's you, just bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." I don't think Peter probably hesitated at that point because his eyes was on Jesus. He stepped out of the boat and started walking on the water, which Peter normally could not have done. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. Peter said, "Lord, save me, save me, save me." He took Peter by the hand. They went back into the got back into the boat. And Jesus said, "Wherefore did you doubt?" Why did you doubt, Peter? You were doing it. You were looking at me. You see, I'm saying to you this morning, walk with me as we walk together with him. See, we got to walk with him. I have walked with him through the travels of life in all the years. I've seen so much that I can't even fathom. I've seen tragedy. I've seen freedom taken away. I've seen how it can affect the lives of people. And I don't know about you this morning. I am unwilling to give up my freedom. You say, "Preacher, what would you do?" I got a gun. Military men have fought for freedom. I was trained to go and fight for freedom. 10 of the hardest weeks of my life, Fort Benning, Georgia. I thought they was going to kill us. I couldn't tell you the stories that I experienced then. Leaving there and spent 27 weeks in Fort Gordon in my training, my advanced training. Became an electronic technician. I have no idea how that came about other than what they said that I did on the test that I took. About the only thing I knew how to do was get up and go change the channel on the TV. Well, I remember that day when you had to get up, say, "You're the remote." You get up and went to the TV and changed the channel. I think he only had 3 or 4 at that time. That was TV. Black and white. That was TV. And I have found what life can push at us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Paul also said in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Little John, 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The task ahead of you is never as great as the power behind you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6:10. You remember the three Hebrew guys? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those dudes? They walked with God. Got them thrown in the furnace, but they continued to walk with God. And when the king rose up to look and see what was going on, he said, "Lo, did we not put 3 in there?" He said, "But I see a fourth one who looks like the Son of God." I don't know how he knew that. The fourth is the Son of God. And they came out of the furnace, not burned, not singed, not smell of smoke. They came out. Because when you walk with God, I'm telling you this morning, you're going to be able to walk through those difficult times in life. And you're going to be able to see the very miraculous of God. I have seen the hand of God. I have come through the powers that be. And I know what it is like today to be able to face even the threshold of death. And yet, God comes on the scene. You see, you walk with him, he's not going to forsake you. He's not going to turn his back on you. He's going to be there with you always. He said, "I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." The fourth man in the fire. You see, when it gets to the place where that life is unfair And if I ask you this morning, how many of you have at times found out that life is not fair? You see, everybody doesn't have two cars in the garage and a turkey in the pot. Everybody doesn't have that. Everybody doesn't share the same things in life. You see, because we're all different. We all have our opportunities. You see, when I was young, I had all these aspirations. And I thought, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You see, whenever I got out of high school, and I graduated with honors. The principal and all the teachers were honored that I was gone. And I found that here I'm going to do something. Now, some of you else are laughing out there because I think you may have been there too. You may have graduated with honors also. I was glad to get out. I had these goals. At that time, strangely enough, I was training in fire prevention. I already had 75 hours of training in fire prevention. I was also training as a police officer. I had an uncle in Atlanta. He said, you get ready, come over here, I'll get you a job. Well, Uncle Sam had a different theory about that. I'm going to put you in OD green, and I'm going to teach you how to kill somebody and protect somebody that they can be free. See, that's what I'm talking to you about this morning, freedom, being free. You got the freedom to walk out of this building and do whatever you want to. It's up to you. It's important that we understand, you know, to be free. There have been some times back down the last few years that I really wondered what was coming to America. I saw what socialism was doing. I saw what it had. It infiltrated our government. And then I'm getting all this information about these people, communist young sympathizers that's come into America, come in here. What is their objective? Homeland Security and the FBI were reporting that. They're talking about the Iranian individuals that have come into America. They've set up zones in America. I don't know what their intention is, but I will tell you this. If they want to fight, then I believe that they've got to fight. I've heard veterans, old men, 101 years of age, said if the need for them, for God, for the President of the United States to say, come, I want you to serve me again, they said, I'm ready to go. And I, for one, would put that uniform on again to fight for freedom, fight for you and my family for freedom. See, when life's unfair, you just keep right on walking. When life throws you a curve, you just keep right on walking. When the clouds of darkness comes over you, you just keep on walking. When the winds of uncertainty come land like a flood, you just keep on walking. When sickness and disease ravages your body, you just keep on walking. Because I want to tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. If you are in Jesus Christ, you are in the hands of the living God and the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to take you and help you, encourage you, and lift you up and take you through those difficult times that you're experiencing. Somebody said one time, well, You wear a police shirt, what if somebody shoots you? Well, if they shoot me, I'm just one step closer to Jesus. That's my heart. That's where God's put me. When you stumble and fall, get up. Keep walking. Walk with me. Walk with me. The victory is on the way. The victory is on the way. Today, as the team comes, today, we can choose to be free as a nation, and we can choose to be free in Jesus. That's our choice this morning. That's our choice. That's our choice. When I was stationed in Kaiserslautern, Germany, my brother had said, one of us will go. I was on orders to be in Long Bien, Vietnam, 28th day of October, 1969. Good friend of mine, buddy, from around Forest Park area, Terry, we had talked about coming home for Christmas leave. Now, this was a little bit earlier. We had talked about that. And I said, well, we could do this. We can take 30 days leave and come from home from Germany, spend time with their family, and go back. And I was working in the maintenance shop. As I said, I was an electronic technician, repairing the communication equipment that supported the 94th Artillery Group and the 32nd Air Defense Command. We had the big guns and the big missiles. We provided that communication. My first sergeant came in, and I was working on the equipment. It was making a lot of noise. That equipment, you turned it on in sequence. You turned it off in sequence by the switches. I walked in. Sergeant said, Hardy, how many days leave you want? See, in my mind, I'm talking about 30 days. I was coming home. He said, I'm serious. How many days leave you want? He said, you're on orders to Vietnam. My heart, I think, stopped at that point. I just reached over and I took my hand and I just flipped all those switches at the same time. I sat in silence and I thought, well, if I got to go, I got to go. I'm a soldier sworn to protect the freedom. that we enjoy. And the morning that they shipped my whole baggage to Frankfurt, Sergeant came in and said, First Sergeant wants to talk to you. I walked into his office. Sergeant Lomax said, Hardy, I've been in the Army a long time. I've never known the Army to give you a choice in this respect. You've got a choice. You can either go to Vietnam or you can stay here. Of course, he told me what would happen to me if I told him I was going to go. So my orders was changed. Came home for Christmas leave. My mom and dad's church over in Paulding County had a revival going on. The last week into the first week of January 1970. I want to tell you something, church. I was drinking day and night when I was over there. I drank on the plane coming home. But I went to that revival service. A lot of family there. I have no clue, but some of the men said, come on, Doug, go to the prayer room with us. I have no idea why, but I just started walking. I went downside in that Sunday school annex to a room. Every time one of those men would open up their mouth and say something about prayer for somebody, God was taking a knife and cutting my heart out. And down on my knees I went and I said, brethren, pray for me. And I want to tell you something. When I came up off of my knees, I wasn't an alcoholic no more. No desire. No desire. And I got back to Germany. Less than 3 months, I was preaching. You see, God changed the orders to keep me out of Nam so that he could do a work in my life in a Baptist church Sunday school room. I'm telling you this morning, if you walk with me, I point you to the one that you should be walking with.
Thank you for listening to this sermon on the Mount Holly podcast. Be sure to follow so you never miss a new sermon and to get notified as soon as it's available. Mount Holly is a Christ-centered community of believers in pursuit of the living God. Whether you're a spiritual seeker or a committed Christian, exploring faith or looking for a church home, you're welcome here. We have ministries and classes designed for you and your family. Sunday service is held at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and our midweek refuel classes meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Please head over to our website to learn more about our ministries, our pastor, and to plan your visit. Click the link in this sermon's description or go to mountholly.org. Finally, because of your generosity, we are able to continue leading people into the life-changing presence of God. If you feel led to give, click the link in the description or go to mountholly.org/give for ways you can support our ministry. Thanks again for tuning in today. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, show you his kindness and have mercy on you, and watch over you and give you peace.